All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we open up your word, that the Holy Spirit will illumine us, will reveal to us what we need to hear, what we need to see today. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears. We bind Satan in Jesus' name any way he would hinder or distract. And we thank you, Father, that we have clarity right now to hear what you want to say to our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 1. The children of Israel have been going through the desert for 40 years. You know the story. And in verse 6, God says this to Moses. He says, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" God says, "You've stayed here long enough." All right? How many of you know sometimes in life we get caught in a place where it's like, you've been here long enough. And God says, it's time to break camp. You've had your camp set up here. It's time to break camp and advance. And what does he say to him there in verse 8? He says, "Go into the land I have given you." Verse 8, "I have given you this land. Go in and take possession." We've said this statement along the way in this series that very few things in the kingdom come just because we want them. They come because we possess them. You don't necessarily get what you want in the kingdom of God. You get what you possess. You get what you take by faith. You know, and for some of us, we can be going around the mountain and going around the mountain saying, "Well, I just don't know why the Lord hasn't healed this, or I don't know why the Lord hasn't changed this in my life, or I don't know why this hasn't improved in my situation." Have you taken possession? You see, God's done his part. And it says in describing the work of the cross that Jesus, when he is set down at the right hand of the Father, he's now waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. That making process involves you and I, the church, taking possession of what Jesus has now accomplished and provided for us through his work. Amen? There's a possessing that has to happen. And God told Moses here, he told Israel here, he said, "You've got to possess what I've given you." There's a principle there for us to see. We should learn from it. God gives us something, but we must take possession of it. Let me tell you something. The Bible makes it clear. In Christ, all blessings, every spiritual blessing, have been given to you and I. You say, "Well, I don't have it yet. I don't see it yet." Could be that you haven't taken possession. Okay, I'm just saying. It could be that it's not God's fault at this moment in time. It just might be a matter of you and I stepping up to the plate and more aggressively advancing into what he's already given us. Could it be? You agree that it might be possible that might be the case? All right, I think so. Let me share with you a few thoughts that I got out of Joyce's book this week, just in what little time I had to read it, because we just got these in. Here's a few thoughts on renewing the mind. She says this: "Where the mind goes, the man will follow. Thoughts bear fruit. If you don't like your crops, change the seed. Your life won't get straightened out until your mind does." That's a good one. Your life won't get straightened out until your mind does. You can't have a positive life and a negative mind. Now, how many of you know you can't listen to Joyce Myers for 5 minutes without wearing steel-toed shoes? She'll step on your toes every time. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. Amen. All of us were born again. We were brought into the kingdom in a state of a mess mentally. All of us. I mean, I got saved at 8. Okay, and so from 8 to my adulthood, yes, I was learning the Bible and learning about Jesus, but Adam was already there. And my mind needs renewing just like the next guy. Our mind was a wreck when we found Jesus, and that's okay. He doesn't fault us for it. He saved our spirit, but he's in the process of changing our minds. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All right. Now, this matter of renewing our mind is a matter of life and death. Turn over to Romans 8. We're going to hit a lot of scriptures today. I hope you brought pen and paper or you have at least something to write with in your Bible. or you're taking notes, Romans chapter 8. This is a matter of life and death. It's not optional. Certainly not a luxury to have a renewed mind as a Christian. It's a matter of life and death. Romans 8, verse 12 and 13 tells us that. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Aren't you glad? We don't have an obligation to live according to the sinful nature. For verse 13, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Have you ever read that verse before? Romans is one of those really, really deep theological books. There's a lot of heady, I don't want to say philosophy, it's theology. It's who we are. It's our constitution as believers. But it can be a lot to chew on sometimes. Let me read that verse again real slowly, verse 13. If you live according to the sinful nature, and he's talking to Christians here. How many of you know it's possible to be born again in your spirit, but to live outwardly and mentally as if you were still a lost sinner? It's possible, or he wouldn't be exhorting these Christians this way. But he says, if you live that way, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. I like what one translation said, and this was the most unusual translation. There was only one I found that said it this way. Instead of saying, if by the Spirit you put to death, and most of your Bibles have that word Spirit capitalized, right? As if it's referring to the Holy Spirit. And that's an accurate translation. By the Holy Spirit's help, we put to death the misdeeds of our body. Again, you got born again, you had developed habits, you had developed misdeeds, all of Adam that came along with you was still there, and by the Holy Ghost's help, we're told we can put to death the misdeeds of the body. But listen to what the God's Word translation says. It says it this way. If you use your spiritual nature. Now that translation's shedding a different light on it. Because it's implying it's not the Holy Spirit. But it's your new spirit, your born again spirit. If you use your born again spiritual nature to put to death these misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I think actually both translations are correct. Your born-again spiritual nature is powerful enough, if you'll give way to it, to overcome the misdeeds of the body, in other words. Amen? Your new nature is as pure as Jesus. Your new birth is as miraculous as the virgin birth. Did you know that? It's as spectacular as Mary giving birth, not having known a man. Your new birth is that spectacular. Your spirit is that marvelous inside. And if you'll let that man, I always use this phrase, I borrow it from Exxon, let the tiger loose. If you'll let the tiger loose that's in you, the new creation, he will dominate. He will push out the misdeeds of the body. You won't give way to your temperament. You won't give way to your lust and fleshly desires that ruled you at one time before you found Christ. BC, we'd call it, before Christ. BC. All the naughtiness of BC. If you'll let your new man rise. But the difference, what makes the difference in letting your new man rise is the renewing of the mind. Where you go with your thoughts. And that's what Paul says here. If you live or if you think according to the old nature, you'll die. And a lot of Christians spend their entire life in spiritual death. It's terrible. Because God didn't come just to save our spirits so we'd go to heaven one day. He came so we could have newness of life now, here and now. Amen? I can look at the world differently. I can interact with the world differently if I'll renew my mind. I can be a new creation now. I can walk like Jesus. I can talk like Jesus. I can act like Jesus now. Now, there's some maturing, of course, that has to happen, and then pushing out of the old. It's a process for us. It wasn't for Jesus. Amen? We know he's divine through and through. There was no sin in him. So he didn't have to go through a process to get better. Jesus never got better. He was divine. But we have that same new nature in us. It's a mystery, I tell you, saints. And we have to discover that mystery. When it says that if you by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, it's not saying that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and helps us conquer something. Rather, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and shows us what Jesus conquered. You see the difference? Christianity is not about you defeating sin. Christianity is not you conquering bad habits or conquering old thought patterns. Christianity is about Jesus did this for you. Look at it, believe it, receive it, and walk in it. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside us not to help us conquer our old sin nature, but to reveal to us what Jesus conquered at the cross. Do you see the difference? So when you read that verse, Romans 8:13, if you by the Spirit, whether you interpret that your new born again spirit or the Holy Spirit, if you by the, because most people interpret it the Holy Spirit, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool with either translation. If you by the Holy Spirit, with his help, what does he do? He shines the spotlight. Yeah, that's a temper. Yeah, that's Adam. But he doesn't say, now you, Tammy, you go defeat Adam. You go conquer that temper. You got to get that under control. He doesn't scold us and say, you got to do this. But he shines the light simply to say, Jesus already conquered that. Jesus put to death that temper. And we say yes. We say yes to revelation, and it becomes reality. I'll say that again. We say yes to revelation, and it will become reality in our lives. This is the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel to you right now. It's good news. It's the power of God unto salvation, if you'll believe it. Now, the Holy Ghost gave me a real simple outline for today. I have two main points. I mean, I'll say a lot in between, but point number one, the renewing of the mind is not about you or I achieving something. How y'all doing in the plastic chairs, by the way? I feel no difference today. I'm always on my feet. It's y'all that are different. Y'all look different out there. You holding tough? Do we need to do a seventh inning stretch yet? We got different chairs today. All right. The renewing of the mind is never about you and I achieving something. Rather, it's about us aligning ourselves to something that's already been achieved at Calvary. It's not about achievement. It's about alignment. If you're taking notes, it's real simple. I'm going to keep it. I want to preach this so a five-year-old can understand it. You don't have to achieve something in renewing your mind. Going back to that idea of, I'm not trying to conquer lust. I'm not trying to conquer temper. I'm not trying to conquer impatience. I'm not trying to conquer selfishness. No, you're not trying to achieve anything in the process of renewing your mind. You are simply aligning yourself to Jesus' achievement at the cross. Hallelujah. This is all described in Romans chapter 6. Go home and chew on it. It'll bless you. Listen, if you're taking notes, here's another. This is original. I like words. It's about cooperation, not construction. Cooperation, not construction. You're not trying to make yourself a better person. You're cooperating with what Jesus did for you, who Jesus made you to be. It's about cooperation, not construction. The world's, it's completely different from humanism. Humanism says, be better. I bought these socks recently. I'm a sucker. They're called Bombas. Anybody seen Bombas? Well, they're kind of new on the market. They got a little bumblebee on the top, and there's no uncomfortable seam underneath the toes, and they stretch and fit your foot. So I was a sucker. I bought a pair just for comfy socks. I'm not going to tell you what I paid for Bombas. It's terrible. Terry can't believe it. She buys her socks at the real affordable places. But I bought this pair of Bombas, and their slogan is something like, be better. But it's B-E-E, you know, kind of a catchy play on words, right? Be better. Listen, Christianity is not about you and I trying to be better. It's about us cooperating with what Jesus made us to be. Play on words. Be. Okay. It's about comprehension, not composition. Comprehension. Renewing the mind is about you and I comprehending. Comprende? It's about comprehending in our minds what's happened to our spirit. It's easy. From that standpoint, it's easy. He's done everything here, Patsy. You're as glorious inside as Jesus is. If we could pull your new man, if we could pull your spirit out and stand him right here in the pulpit, and Jesus walked in the side door with fanfare and angels and fog, and you know, lights, and he stood up right here next to Patsy's new self, they would look like twins. Well, a guy and a gal, but it would look like twins. That's how glorious your new man is inside of you. So renewing the mind is about comprehending. It's about comprehending what's happened in here. That's what renewing the mind is. It's not about you trying to achieve anything. We're not trying to be better. We're comprehending how glorious we already are in Christ Jesus. It's about being like-minded with God. The renewing of the mind is about being like-minded with God. God says, you're this, and I say, up here in my noggin, I say, yep, that's who I am. It's not another thing to do on your to-do list to be a better Christian. Oh, now I got to read my Bible, I got to pray, and renew my mind. Okay, Scott's just loading me up with things to do this year. No, renewing the mind is not another do-gooder, you know, bullet point for you to go home and do. It's the essence of stepping into our salvation. It's discovering the glories that Peter talks about. I want us to read a verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 9. Peter talks about discovering this glory that even the angels desire to look into. This is an amazing verse here in 1 Peter 1. Why don't you turn over there? 1 Peter 1, 9. First Peter 1, 9 says this, you are receiving the goal of your faith. And what is the goal of your faith? Read it out loud. Chris is there. Come on. The goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Listen, the rest of our life, once we're born again, the rest of our life is spent on this journey we call the journey of faith. And it's about the salvation of your soul. Your noggin's dirty. It needs cleaning. And it's a lifelong process. That's how glorious your spirit is. We could spend 100 years. If we lived to be 400 years old, we'd still be discovering how glorious the new man is inside here. That's how glorious he is and how far this is removed through Adam from what this is now in our spirit man. Look at 1 Peter 1, 9. Oh, well, we just read 9. Let's look at verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently. The prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets, and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and what? You should underline this in your Bible. The glories that would follow. Hallelujah. Since the cross, glories have followed. That's you and I. That's our spirit being born again. Hallelujah. He says the glories that would follow. Verse 12, it was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. I love this part. Even the angels long to look into these things. You're a mystery to heaven. Because when the angels look at you, they see Jesus born in here. Spirit. They see a spirit made alive, made new, in the image of Jesus, their King, their glorious Lord. And the angels are in awe of you and I. You know, sometimes we feel like, man, if I saw an angel, I'd just be like, ah. Oh. The angels look at you, Chris, and go, wow, Jesus in an earthly body, being formed, a man made new. They're intrigued. They're inspired. They're in awe of you and I, the Bible says right here, because we've been made new. The glories that would follow. Hallelujah. This is you and I. And it says, listen, years ago, we had a teaching that came out, and it's like somebody turned on a light in this one arena. Some of you probably heard this. It was news to me. I mean, this is like 15 years ago when we were in church, and the teaching came out, and it said this. It was right out of the Bible. I mean, it wasn't anything new. It wasn't original. It's just that someone read their Bible and understood it by the Holy Spirit and started teaching it. And it was this, those who receive reign. Those who receive reign, R-E-I-G-N, not rain, like rain coming down or snow coming down, but reign. Look at Romans chapter 5 with me. I want to read that verse because this is what I'm talking about in renewing the mind. Romans 5:17. This is a great promise. If you have not been taught this, if you weren't hearing this back when my ears rang and resonated with it, this may be news to you, but it's a glorious verse, and it just has such good promise for us. Look at Romans 5:17. If by the trespass of one man, talking about Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those... Oh, there's our phrase. How much more? That's our 2017 slogan. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot in that verse packed in there. Those who receive will reign. Not those who achieve. Christianity is not about achievement. It's about receivement, if I can coin a word this morning. It's about you and I receiving. When we receive the provision of God's grace through Jesus at the cross, everything that he accomplished at his cross, his achievement, when we receive it, what does that mean? We renew our mind to it. We embrace it. We read about it. We meditate on it. We think on it. We receive. That's what receiving is really all about. It's an ongoing, lifelong process. You'll never quit receiving, Kathy. Your whole life, we receive, receive, receive. Receiving is an ongoing verb. It's one of those verbs that never ends. It's not like, well, have a t-shirt that said, received. You'll never get to a point that you've arrived so much that you can say, I've received it all. No, it's I'm receiving, receiving, receiving. Those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, who you are in here, this new man we're talking about, when you receive that, you'll reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That's a great promise. You will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Let me say this about renewing the mind. I'm going to step to my second point. Renewing the, when we're talking, what we're talking about here, this concept of renewing the mind, a lot of times people think about the idea of self-control. You know, we come into Christ, we come into the Lord, and we think, well, Christianity is all about, you know, we got to exercise self-control. The New Testament biblical teaching about self-control is wrapped up in this. It's not you morphing and you know, molding your behavior a certain way now that you're a Christian. New Testament self-control is wrapped up in this idea. You exercise the mind to receive all that Jesus did for you. That's New Testament self-control. New Testament self-control is centered around the mind, not allowing our mind to stray from the truth of who he is to us and the truth of what he's made us to be. That's New Testament self-control. New Testament self-control, listen, you didn't get saved. You didn't become a Christian so you could add more to-dos to your life. You could not, and I could not, be better people by having more self-control, more patience, more joy. Listen, those are behavioral changes. Those are behavioral modifications. There's the word I was looking for a moment ago. You cannot modify yourself in a way that will make you holy. All you can do is exercise self-control by reading this book, by allowing your thoughts. When your thoughts start to stray, you go, nope, here's true north. Here's what the word says about me. Satan comes and says, you're dirty. You're still, you know, you still lie a lot. You still cheat a lot. You still blah, blah, blah. You know, those thoughts come to your mind from the enemy and you say no. And you refocus your thought on the truth of what this book says about you. That's New Testament self-control. New Testament self-control is exercising your mind to the truth that you read in this book, irregardless of outward manifestations or outward changes. You say, well, I haven't become yet what I want to become in Christ. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Keep reading, keep chewing, keep receiving, and it will happen. That's New Testament self-control. New Testament self-control is just staying focused. It's a matter of staying focused on what Jesus says about you, what he's made you to be. Amen. Second main point. Total transformation and victory is non-optional when it comes to renewing the mind. Listen, if you're cooperating with the Lord, you'll be changing. If you don't have victory in your life in a certain area, it could be that in that area you've just gone dormant or become apathetic about aggressively possessing. Remember what God told Moses. He said, you've camped here long enough. Time to advance. Break camp. Advance. Take possession of what God's given you. A lot of times there's areas in our life we've just let them stay dormant. We've locked the door, shut it, you know, put a sign on there that says, do not enter. We're never going to get better in this area. And we've just resigned ourselves to no change in that area. Listen, if you're cooperating with the Spirit of grace, if you're cooperating by renewing your mind in the Bible, and me too, in any area, we'll be changing. We'll be improving. We'll be getting better. We may not be perfect today, but we'll be moving toward perfection, moving toward change, toward the positive, toward victory. Listen, Jesus did not come to give us half of victory. He came to be make us more than conquerors. The word tells us that. Romans chapter 8. I want you to flip over there. We'll read that verse together. Romans chapter 8. You're not far from it. We're in chapter 5. Just flip over a couple chapters. Look at Romans 8, 29. Is this helping you today? I hope so. My second point again, total transformation and victory is non-optional. It's non-optional, meaning the renewing of the mind, like we sang about earlier, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord. What you surrender to Jesus, he will come in and make you victorious in that area. If you've got fears and you say, Lord, I surrender these fears, and you start pouring over the word in those areas, whether it's anxiety, whether it's, you know, you need to entrust God with your children, whatever. If you'll start finding the scriptures and the promises in the Bible that relate to that area, and you'll start pouring over it and speaking it and renewing your mind to it, victory will come. Because Jesus came to give us victory in every area. Total transformation and total victory. Look at Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Listen, you hear a lot of people spouting ideas about predestination. This verse makes it clear here that God predestined those who he foreknew to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So the teaching of predestination in the New Testament is not about it's not about who gets chosen. It's about everybody that God, that chooses God, be conformed to Jesus. How many of you know our salvation is a whosoever will proposition? Whosoever will believe on him shall be saved. Amen? God opened the door of heaven wide. He knew in advance who would say yes and who would say no. But he opened heaven doors wide for everybody. It's a whosoever will proposition. But here's what it says here. Those that he knew in advance would say yes. His plan, his purpose is to conform every one of them to the image of Jesus. You're not meant to look like your father and mother. In behavior, I'm talking about. Now, outwardly, we resemble our parents. Nothing wrong there. And we pick up their quirky habits. Okay, but I'm talking about Adam. I'm talking about, you know, dad's impatience or my Irish temper, you know, that I inherited from grandma or whatever. You're not meant to continue that cycle in your life. He predestined you. He knew. And his God's plan is to conform you to the image of his Son, Jesus. And if we're cooperating, change will come. If we're cooperating. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say? I hope you'll underline that word say, because part of the renewing of the mind involves what you and I speak, what we say. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's a good verse for you to quote. Listen, if you're starting to feel discouraged, you say, Lord, I've been trying to change this area of my life forever, and nothing seems to be changing. You go at it with this attitude. Who can stand against us? If God is for me. Listen, God's for you. He wants you to change. He wants you to get better. He wants you to improve. He wants you to be like Jesus. Not just in theory, in behavior. And your family will be the first to know it. Those closest to you will be the first to know the change. Amen. Can't lie to family. They sleep with you. They didn't know your bad breath. They know everything about you. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you changing. He's for me changing. Look at verse 37. No, in all these things we are what? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's saying this. Jesus loved us at the cross. What Jesus did in loving us at the cross made us more than a conqueror in every arena. Amen? I don't care where you've struggled the most, where you felt hung up the most. Jesus has made you, through his love at the cross, he's made you more than a conqueror in that arena, if you'll receive it. Today's message is meant to provoke you to receive it. Break camp. Advance. You've been around this mountain too long. Move on. You're more than a conqueror. Another verse you can make note of. We don't have time to turn there right now, but 1 Corinthians 15:57. He gives us, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you receiving? Again, I want to ask the question, what are you receiving? What have you been receiving? If you've not been experiencing victory, it could be that you're not receiving victory through the renewing of your mind. If you're receiving it, it will flow out of you. If you're receiving, you will reign in life. Romans 5:17 told us. Listen, generally speaking, people justify bad behavior. It's just human nature. The number one step to changing, probably actually number one and a half. Number one is probably getting out of denial. But number one and a half or two is certainly getting rid of the justification for bad behavior. You see, as long as you justify bad behavior in a certain area, you will stay there. Ouch. I'm starting to sound like Joyce Myers, aren't I? But you know I love you. I say in love. Not out to crush your toes. The minute we stop justifying is the minute we can start changing. As long as you're justifying that bad behavior or that unrenewed area in your life, you won't change. Sometimes we ask the question, why? We spend all of our wheels, and the devil will try to get you tangled up in the question, why? Why am I this way in this area? And you start asking the question, why? And the question, why, even the answer to that question, has very little to do with you truly getting free. What will free you is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Just be transformed. Just be changed. Just be free. Just get set free. Just allow him to just receive. Forget the question why. It doesn't matter why. Listen, you know, you can people give themselves and their money and their time to psychologists who spend all this effort to discover why you're acting up, why you're misbehaving. And it does no good to change you. The goal is to be changed, to stop misbehaving. Why does not fix you? Amen. Simply be transformed. Simply be changed. We're not a victim. We're a victor. We just read that in Romans 8:37. Through him who loved us, we have been made more than conquerors. We are no longer a victim. Say that with me. I'm not a victim.
I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
In Christ.
In Christ. I'm a victor. Romans 8:37. There's a verse you can chew on. I'm more than a conqueror. Sometimes my daughter years ago, when she was challenged with getting through college or getting up in the mornings to get to college, whatever it was, the challenge of the day, I would send her a text and remind her, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Amen. The devil will tell you you're hung up, you're snagged, you're trapped. I'm telling you, you're more than a conqueror. Listen to the word. It will change you. It will transform you. The spirit in which the Bible tells us to be renewed is this. The New Testament command to be renewed is wrapped up in this idea. Look what God has done, therefore you become. We read this verse a week or two ago, Romans 12:1-2. You can make a note of it, and we'll quote it for you now. In view of God's mercy, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercy, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the spirit in which the Holy Spirit tells us, Tammy, be changed, is this. Look at what's been done for you, now become. Again, it's not about my achievement. It's about my acceptance. It's about my cooperation with what he's already done. Do you see that? The spirit in which the Bible commands us to be made new, Patsy, is never about us achieving something or us drumming up something or conjuring up change or better behavior or better thinking. It's always about, look at what's been done for you. Now conform. Now be changed. Now be transformed. I want to read a verse to you. I meant to get to it last week. I do want to look at this in your Bible, and we'll wrap things up here. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And I want to leave you with some scriptures for food for thought to chew on. Give you some ammo. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. Amen? Ephesians 4, 17. I tell you this and insist on it. I like the NIV translation on this verse. Paul says, I insist. Now, he didn't do this very often. Paul was a very humble man. Paul was a very self-sacrificing apostle. If you look at the way he laid down his life, he was stoned, shipwrecked, beaten. You know, Paul laid it down. But every now and then he got a little firm in his speech. And this is one of those verses, Ephesians 4:17. He says, I insist on this in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In other words, he's saying your lifestyle should be different than the heathen. When it says Gentiles, think of it as heathen, unbelievers, okay? No longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their what? Their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, verse 20, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. In the King James, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I love that phrase. That's a good verse to chew on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There again, Paul says, I insist on this. Because I taught you when I was with you, he says to the Ephesian church. He says, when I was with you, I taught you, I presented to you the truth of who you are in Jesus. I told you about what he achieved at the cross and what that made you to be. And now I insist that your thinking line up with it. You see that? He says, be renewed in your mind. Don't let your mind be darkened. Don't think like the heathen think. Let me say that again. We are not supposed to think like the heathen think. Amen. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. We're to look at ourselves different. We're to think of ourselves different. I'm new. I'm different. I don't care if I feel it. I don't care if I see anything outwardly that proves it. It's true. I accept it. I embrace it. And I renew my mind to it. That's what Paul's teaching here. All right, let me wrap this up. We're going to hit a few verses. Real quick, Bible drill time. Psalm 1, verse 2. No time to turn, that's too far back. Psalm 1 and 2 says this, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what?
Day and night.
You say, really? I'm supposed to think about this stuff day and night? Yeah, well, what else are you going to be thinking about? We should be spending our energy, our focus on who am I? What's happened in here? What's going on in here? What did Jesus do to my spirit? What does Jesus look like? These are the thoughts we should be giving ourselves to. Anytime in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when it says things like meditate on the law of the Lord or meditate on his law, listen, for you and I on this side of the cross, it means think about the finished work of the cross. It's not about thinking about the Ten Commandments. We don't meditate on the Ten Commandments day and night, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We meditate on the finished work of the cross day and night. Listen, you can't watch too much Christian television. I'm telling you. Your mind is that Adamic. And mine too. Have you ever sat down and started watching a preacher on TV? And you go, wow, that's good. And your spirit, what's happening? Your spirit's going, it's licking his lips. That was a great steak. What's for dessert? And another preacher comes on and you go, wow, that's really good. I'm talking about the good preachers. The ones that know what they're talking about. And you go, wow, that's really good. You can look up and sit there, and all of a sudden you've been sitting there for hours. What's happening? Your spirit's been feeding on Jesus. Your spirit's just been feeding on and discovering who you are, what he's done for you, what he's made you to be. That's the renewing of the mind. And that's why you can sit there just forever. I mean, you could just plug me in. It never ends. Day and night, Psalm 1 and 2 says. Let's look at a few other verses. We'll hit these real quick in the Bible. Romans 6:4. These are verses you can chew on. Say, Scott, I don't have a clue how to begin renewing my mind. I'm going to give you a few verses here. Romans 6:4. Turn there real quick. I'm going to read them real fast here. Not going to teach. I'm just going to share these verses with you. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him into his death. Excuse me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, I hope you'll underline this last phrase, we too may live a new life. There's a promise for you right there. And you can chew on that verse every day when you wake up. I too may live a new life. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, I can live a new life. Because sometimes, honestly, it feels like we can't do this. Ever woke up and you say, Lord, I just can't do this. I just can't be good. I just can't get this area of my life. I can't get my act together in this area. That verse right there tells you, we too may live a new life. Romans 6:4, I love it. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the KJV. 2 Corinthians 10:5, and I'm in hyper mode. We're going to wind it down. We're going to land the plane. Hold your seat belts. The landing gear is coming down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. In the King James, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now there's a good, that's like renewing the mind 101, right, verse. You should memorize that, chew on it every day. Casting down imaginations. Listen, the devil comes to you and says, you're just like your parents. You got a temper just like dad. You got a da-da-da. He starts whispering in your ear. You say, I cast down imaginations. Every high thing exalting itself against the knowledge of God, I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, that's not your obedience. That's not your performance in obedience to God. It's the obedience that Jesus accomplished at the cross. We bring every thought captive to that and say, that's my reality. That's who I am. I am what he made me to be. I have a little song I wrote years ago. I am what you made me to be. I am what you made me to be. Not what I feel, nor what I see. I am what you made me to be. And that's the truth. We are what he made us to be, no matter what we feel, no matter what we see. And we bring every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. There's I'm telling you, that's a hollow point bullet right there for renewing the mind. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's look at one more here. 1 Timothy 6:12. There's so much to share with you. That's why it's going to be a multi-part series. 1 Timothy 6:12. And get the book. Joyce's book, I mean. 1 Timothy 6:12. We'll end with this verse right here. First Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Renewing the mind is a battle. Before Christ, BC, your mind used to wander like a wild stallion. It roamed the pastures of naughtiness for years and years. And even if you did, if you got saved as a child like I did, it doesn't matter. We received the natural mind from Adam, and it roams. But the Bible says here we must fight. It's going to be a fight. It doesn't take any effort to walk in an unrenewed mind. It takes effort to renew your mind. It's a deliberate walk. And Paul says here, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession, when you got saved, when you confessed Jesus as your Lord in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. There's a good one for you there too. Fight the good fight. And you say this, listen, part of renewing the mind, you want to bump this up a little bit. It's kind of like P90X. You want to up things on a little bit of renewing the mind steroids. Speak it. Don't just read it. Speak it. What you say. I fight the good fight of faith. I take hold of the eternal life to which I was called when I confessed when I made my confession in the presence of many witnesses. You speak, and your mind will align with the words you declare from the Word of God. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? I could go on forever. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for all that you've accomplished in Christ Jesus, that you've made us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. We declare it, Father, and we give you thanks today that in Jesus we're being renewed day by day. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith in him. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you go today. And remember the big luncheon next Sunday. Ladies, sign up for desserts. We'll see you. God bless you.